We're going to read from the Bible now. We're going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 2. If you'd like a Bible to follow, then if you raise your hand, somebody will bring one round. We'll give you a moment that. And if you do grab a Bible, it's page 1027 in these church Bibles. So if you'd like a Bible, just put your hands up. Someone will bring it round to you. I quite like this, look. You either all want to answer a question or you all need the toilet. That's what I normally see when all these hands go up. But in this case, you want a Bible, so just keep your hand up and we will wait for you. If you go, ooh, 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 you might get it quicker. Great, yeah, 1027 is the page number if you're looking for Luke chapter 2. In a minute, Millie's going to read from verse 1 to verse 20. And I will interject with the voice of both the angel and the shepherd.
He's multi-rolling, guys. It's a big night.
I'll try and do a slightly different accent so you can sound the difference.
Okay, ready? So, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while, I'm going to attempt to say this, Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told of them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Great, fantastic. Dan's going to help us understand that a bit more. Where are you, Dan? Dan, where are you?
Where is it? I'm over here. Oh,
wow.
Do you want some help?
This is a test of strength at the beginning of his talk.
There you go.
We normally ask people that come up and speak before we pray for them a really easy question.
This is because I've asked you that.
This is the thing you're most worried about, isn't it? Okay. So, Dan, Christmas presents.
Yeah.
You can have a choice. You don't normally give an A or B option here. Option A, best Christmas present. Or you could do option B, worst, most disappointing.
I mean, I should probably say that I asked Becca to marry me on the 21st of December.
And stretch
she said, yes.
Not really a present. sorry, I'm not saying that is a... Yeah. She was present.
I think I should stick with that. I think that's it, because, I'm going to go with that.
Okay, yeah. Safe call?
Yeah, I think so.
Worst Christmas present you've ever got.
I mean... I just think it's when you expect something that you know, you're like, this is going to be it. I specifically asked for this.
Like a seashell jewellery case.
That's really specific. I've never asked for that.
I got one from my Auntie Linda once. It wasn't what I was expecting.
As in, like, if you ask for, like, a proper real guitar, and then you get, like, a fake child's one, you know, like, that's the sort of level I'm thinking.
Do you want to talk about it? Or... Oh, it didn't happen to you? Okay. Shall we pray for you?
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the greatest gift of all. And I pray this Christmas that we would open up what it is to know you, to be loved by you. And I pray for Dan, that he would know that he is your precious child. And I pray that you would give him the freedom to clearly express what is on his heart from you. Help us to understand this beautiful gift of Jesus this Christmas. So we pray for us that we'd be good listeners, and we pray for your Spirit to come here right now so that we can really know who you are, not just with our ears, but with our hearts too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Millie. And good evening, everyone. It's really good to be able to see you here this evening, and it's so great that you could join us for our Encounter Christmas special. What would you expect to happen when a king is born? Some of you remember back in 2013, we celebrated the birth of William and Kate's first baby George, who will one day become our future king. And I don't know if you recall this picture. Am I feedbacking a little bit here? This is the royal easel that announced the birth here. But let me set the scene for you. I was living at home with my family at the time, and my family love the royals. We're all sitting in front of the TV watching News 24 to get every waking second of it, and my mum is just sitting there just so excitedly waiting for news of this birth. My brother was away at the time, so we were recording it every second as well, so it would last a lifetime. The cameras of the world were outside Buckingham Palace, like moths to a flame. They were just waiting. And then they brought out the easel. And I sat there for half an hour looking at this easel, thinking, is this it? This piece of paper. The news teams have been filming a piece of paper for half an hour, and we kept going back to clips of the easel, and the commentators were going into meltdown like it was the greatest thing ever. And I was sitting there, and I all thought it was very, very boring. I was hoping there would be trumpets blowing, street parties, and I was kind of hoping we'd probably get a day off. But sadly, that was not the case. So what would you expect when God himself was born? You'd expect it to be in a great palace, in the most important country in the world. You'd expect all the important people to be there, the celebrities, the billionaires, the royalty themselves. You'd expect them all to be there, and you expect it to be announced on every easel in the world. But we all know the Christmas story, and we know that was far from the case. The birth of Jesus was a very upside down and unexpected episode. And we're going to look at a couple of people, a couple of groups from the Christmas account we read this evening. But first, we're going to watch a video clip that perhaps captures something of the unexpectedness of that first Christmas.
Of time to that very first Christmas. If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created Earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there.
Why?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall we read as a army, Lord? Make sure people listen?
No, I don't think we should send an army. Maybe just one person.
What person?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, if we're sending just one person, it'll have to be someone very powerful and very strong. Because there's tons of people down there.
No, they don't have to be strong. They'll be going as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that. is rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who protect him. Maybe a great ruler or mighty king?
Actually, I was thinking I could send him to a young peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
Planning to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven? Our Prince? Your son?
Please, I won't be expecting that.
Lord, this is too risky. Sending the prince in disguise as a tiny baby, born not to kings, but to humble villagers. Surely our prince cannot be born in a cottage. He must be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew.
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals?
With hay?
Filled with poo?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that.
Lord, how will all the people know he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will bring all people closer to me, even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking? Like in the stars?
Clues in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to him.
We sing for him?
Yes, can we sing?
Sing to welcome him.
Please say we can sing.
God looked at their hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by their love for the prince.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing for some shepherds? That's a lonely job.
Those blokes could do with some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
So this is our encounter service this evening. We meet every other Sunday. And this term we've been going through a series called The Upside Down Life. And we've been looking at how sometimes God does things in a way that we don't expect. And although this is the most well-known story in the Bible, it's one of the most upside-down, unexpected stories the world has ever known. So firstly, we're going to look at an unexpected invitation. Now, I love a good nativity. We've got one coming up in a couple of weeks' time that you're all very welcome to come along to. I actually have a starring role as guard number one, so you should definitely not miss it. But in my opinion, when it comes to nativities, pretty much the best role you can get is the shepherd. Now, you get most time on stage, except for possibly Joseph, but as a six-year-old boy, I didn't want to be married to a girl, so shepherd was pretty much the best option you can go for. But apart from that, the role of shepherd was really a chance for you to stretch your acting skills to the max. Particularly when the angels turn up in the story. You know, you get the full range, the angel appears, and you get the full range of terrified faces. The angel appears and it's, you know, that sort of thing. I love that moment. It's a real bit, real acting sort of skills have to come to the fore. So for me, the shepherd is the best role you can get. But actually, being a shepherd at the time of Luke chapter 2 in the passage we read wasn't as glamorous as it perhaps is in the nativities. While considered quite a noble profession in the Old Testament, by the time we get to the birth of Jesus, it was considered quite a lowly job for only the poor at best. And at worst, people maybe even despised shepherds. Some considered them at the bottom of the social ladder, and some even said they couldn't be trusted. And it wasn't a job anyone would choose to do. Maybe you remember the story of David in the Bible in the Old Testament. You know, David who defeated Goliath and later became king of Israel. When we first meet David, the prophet Samuel comes to pick the next king of Israel from his family. And he meets all of David's brothers, his older brothers. But David isn't even there because he's on shepherd duty. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to convince one of your younger siblings to do a job that you didn't really like. So I recall trying to convince my youngest brother that washing up was amazing and that he would definitely want to do it. And I would even trade it for hoovering. And I did that because I hate washing up, and I still do. And hoovering is great. And I think I even managed to convince him that day. Now, I'm sure David wasn't tricked into being a shepherd, but he was probably doing it because he was the youngest and no one else wanted to do it. Just put yourself in the shoes of one of these shepherds for a moment, or maybe their sandals. It was a lonely, isolated job, and it would have been difficult with long, cold nights and hot days and wild animals to fight off. Quite frankly as well, it sounds really, really boring. Verse 8 of the chapter we read says they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Sheep are not the most interesting animals out there. People literally count them to fall asleep. And you'd be far away from cities in the countryside, away from the cities and towns where things are happening. It's most likely you'd spend your whole life out on those fields watching these sheep. And maybe you would feel forgotten, ignored by a world who didn't really care about you. Now, I imagine that none of us really have any idea of what life would be like as a shepherd, but perhaps we can identify with them in some ways. Sometimes we can see all that's out in the world and the trouble in our own lives, and we can think, have we been forgotten by God? Where is God? Does he care? Is he even out there? And if he is, how does it affect my life? Has God abandoned us? Has he forgotten us? And a distant God can feel like a million miles away from our lives, as maybe he felt from the lives of the shepherds. Maybe you too feel forgotten. Well, these shepherds who were forgotten by the world were not forgotten by God. He chooses them to be the first people to hear from God's messengers, the angels themselves, that there is good news. A royal baby has been born. And this announcement was way better than any royal easel. And again, we're just going to watch another short video of how it might have changed the shepherds' lives.
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there on the pasture. But that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I was like, "Too late." And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, "I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "He's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him." Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, "Hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem." So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. Nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, "I bring good news to all people." That means you too.
If you wanted to get the news out that a savior of the world had been born, you wouldn't choose shepherds. They're not the sort of people who have a lot of Instagram followers. They're not the influencers. They weren't the influencers of their day. In fact, historical documents show that shepherds were so untrusted that sometimes they weren't even allowed to give testimony in a court of law. They weren't allowed to be witnesses of events. And so if you were making this story up, you wouldn't choose shepherds to be the first witnesses. And yet, for the most monumental event in all of history, God chooses them. And the birth of Jesus could be announced to anyone, to Caesar, to the high priest, to the religious leaders of Israel at the time. But they were sent to shepherds. Why? Well, the answer comes in verse 10. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." All the people. The message that Jesus had come to save humanity was a message to everyone, to anyone who would listen. In a couple of chapters, we read in Luke chapter 4, we meet a grown-up Jesus, and he goes into the local synagogue, and he reads a prophecy that was written by the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before, and it's about what this Savior would come to do. And this is what it said in Luke chapter 4, in our next slide. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." All through his life, Jesus met with unexpected people. He met with Zacchaeus, a tax collector who stole money from people. He met with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a group that hated Jesus. He spent time with prostitutes and lawbreakers. He met with Roman soldiers who were the occupying force. And he met with both rich and poor. Jesus loved the most unexpected people. And sitting here tonight, you might think you're the most unlikely person to meet Jesus today. Maybe you don't believe he was out there. Maybe you only came for the carols and not necessarily this message. Or maybe you're a Christian here this evening, but Jesus feels very far away. Maybe you feel forgotten, unsure if God really cares about you. Maybe like the shepherds. But Jesus came for you. And for me, he broke into history because he loves you more than you will ever know. God became a human being to bring you good news. And Jesus is interested in meeting you this Christmas. The message of the angels, the shepherds, is being offered to you to meet God himself. And this means you are incredibly beautiful and precious in the eyes of God, a God who made all things. He wants to meet you and bring you the good news that he is the Savior of the world. Now, Christmas is really the most wonderful time of the year, but it can be really easy to get tangled up in everything that goes on around the time. But this is the turning point of all history, when God came into the world. And it's not something we can just ignore. How will you respond to the angel's message? Will you be like them in verse 15, where we read, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" They went to see if what the angel had said was true. And will you do the same? Have we really considered this message for ourselves? This message, is it true? Because if the birth of a Savior is true, then it changes everything and it can turn our world upside down. And if we do believe this, then this can be our assurance that we will never be beyond God's sacrificial love. A pastor and writer called John MacArthur, he said this, it'll be on the screen as well. "The Savior has been born, and he will be the Savior of everybody, and the Savior of anybody who comes and believes. the humblest, the most ignorant, the most uneducated, the most lowly and unskilled, even despised, even the chief of sinners, even the lowest of the low. He is the Savior of everybody who is saved, from every people and tongue and tribe and nation on the face of the earth, and anybody who chooses to come. He is the world Savior, and he's your Savior. So we know then the good news is for everyone. But the word Savior was used a lot of times in that quote. It's quite a Christian word, and we hear it perhaps a little bit more at Christmas. But the obvious question that we have to ask ourselves is, why do we need a Savior? Why did Jesus need to come as a Savior? Well, to think about that, I'd like to finish by looking at Mary, the unexpected, expecting mother. Now, as we know, Mary's life has been turned upside down in the last 9 months leading up to this point. She would have been very happily engaged to Joseph, but an angel visits her and says that even though she's never been with a man, she's going to give birth to a son by the power of God, and this son will be the Son of God. And from that point on, Mary's life is never going to be the same again. Joseph nearly calls off the engagement, thinking she's been unfaithful, but he himself is visited by an angel saying it's okay, they should still be married. But Mary still would have lived the rest of her life with people judging her. They would have been social outcasts. She then ends up giving birth in a stable because there's no room for them anywhere else. And we can have quite a nice picture of a cozy stable. But if you've ever been to a farm, you know this is far from the case. Stables stink. You know, a manger is an animal's feeding trough. So when Mary would put Jesus into the manger, she would have to clear out leftover food and animal spit and maybe animal poo. And then suddenly these shepherds turn up. I'm sure this isn't the life that Mary was expecting. But despite all the craziness that happened to Mary, she was still a mother. And like all mothers, she would have wanted the best for her child. And there would have been a deep connection between her and Jesus. We've had a few births this year at the church, and I think we've got some other births coming up in the new year. And the more new parents I meet, the more I hear weird and wonderful facts about babies and their mum. So I've got a few facts for you here. Did you know a baby can recognize the voice and smell of its mother from birth? And actually, it works the other way around as well. A blindfolded mother can tell her baby from a whole group of babies by smell alone. What about this? If you put a baby in a room with a stranger, nothing changes about their heartbeat. But if you put a baby in a room with their mother or father, then a baby's heart will start to beat and fall into a kind of rhythm and sync with their parents. Even though they beat faster, they beat more times together, like they're connected. What about this? Finally, scientists have known for a long time that a mother's breast milk helps a baby's immune system. And a mother's body does this in a lot of different ways, but one of them is through kisses. Effectively, a mother samples the illnesses her baby is going to fight, and her body starts producing those antibodies. Now, I'm not sure if that's gross or amazing, but it's probably both. And Mary would have had these with Jesus, the Son of God. She would have always wanted the best for him, to protect him. And what I think I've noticed most of all when I meet these new mothers is that they would give give their whole lives for their child. A baby is completely reliant on their mother for survival. And parents would do anything to save their child, to save them or protect them from harm or difficulty. And Mary would do anything to give life to this baby. But the unexpected reality is that Jesus came to give life to Mary. And not just Mary, he came to give life to anyone who believes in him. Why do we need life? Why did Mary and the shepherds and us need a Savior? Well, you just have to look around you to realize that we are living in a broken world. And we see it all around us, don't we? We see injustice and it makes us angry. We see loneliness and we know that it hurts. And we see guilt eating people up. But it's not just out there. It's not just other people, is it? We don't always want good things. We don't always make right choices. And our God-given consciousness knows that this is a problem. The Bible calls it sin. And all throughout human history, you only have to scratch a little below the surface to see the bad things that we are capable of. And worst of all, we forget God, who is the giver of all good things. Our relationship with him is broken because of the choices we've made. And he is the giver of life. And if you reject the giver of life, it can only lead to death. And death affects every single one of us. Mary, the shepherds, us. This is what we need saving from our failing and our brokenness, from death. And if I'm honest with you, I know how often I fail, how I know I can't fix myself. I need a savior. And we might not be helpless babies, but we need saving from the mess that we make. And this is why the angels burst into the night sky to exclaim glory to God in the highest, because of verse 11. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus came to be our savior in the most unexpected way. Because while we are all born to live and then die, Jesus was born to die so that we might live forever. See, Jesus grew up, but he was rejected by those around him, betrayed by his friends, and he was executed on a cross. And he didn't need to die. He didn't even need to come to this earth to leave heaven, but he came to live and then die in our place. Because the wrong things we do lead to death. But God did not leave us to that fate, because we are his children. He wanted to give life, so he came himself, went to the cross, and died in our place. He paid the price for our brokenness. And that means the slate can be wiped clean. Our relationship with God can be restored, because the wrong things we've done have been paid for by the death of Jesus. And after he died, 3 days later, he rose again back to life, as we remember at Easter, to show that anyone who trusts in him will have life, eternal life. So Jesus was born and then died on a cross so he could give life, life to his mother, life to the shepherds, and life to you. There could not be a greater gift this Christmas. And the angels burst into praise, and the shepherds go away glorifying God. And Mary treasures these things in her heart because they see what God has done for them. They were helpless and lost, but Jesus came as a baby to grow up and live and die to be their savior. And he can be your savior too. You can accept Jesus' gift of forgiveness and life by talking to him, and we just call it prayer. But you have to choose to accept this gift that is being offered to you. That's how you get a gift. The gift that you can ask and have this Christmas is a gift of forgiveness, as we ask Jesus to forgive us, to invite him into our lives, and you could meet Jesus this Christmas. I'm going to ask the band to come up now, and they're going to perform a song for us. And then we're going to sing some carols to finish. But before that, I'm going to pray. And you can be praying in your hearts if this is something you want to do. Maybe it's the first time you've thought about these things. And maybe you feel that maybe God has been speaking to you. As I pray, maybe you can pray with me, just in your hearts and out loud. And you can just say amen at the end. And if that's something you want to do for the first time, then afterwards, please come and chat to one of us. But maybe maybe this is just something you want to think about. And then on a lot of your chairs, we have connect cards. Maybe this is a journey you want to think about starting. If this is true, it can turn the world upside down. It can turn your life upside down. And many of us have found this to be true. So if you want to, you can just fill a card in and hand it to one of the people at the door. And that just connects us with you. And we can just start a conversation. But whoever you are, Jesus would like to meet with you this Christmas. So I'm just going to pray. So you might want to just close your eyes and just follow along. I'm going to start with an Advent prayer. Jesus, our radiant dawn, splendor of eternal light, Son of justice, come, shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Lord God, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you so much for this time of year we can enjoy and celebrate with family and friends. But Lord, we know that as we look around, as we can see that the world is a broken place. And we know if we're honest, we are broken as well. But Lord God, we thank you that you sent Jesus into this world. Good news for all of us. That he is a savior to anyone who believes. Lord, help us believe. We invite you into our hearts now, Lord. We are sorry for those wrong things we have done. And we invite you in as our King and our Savior. Lord God, we thank you for the message of Christmas, that it is good news, that our brokenness and death has been dealt with, and that you love us so much that you sent your Son into this world. We thank you that you're a good God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.